I have a thought before I get started on the message here. The word about thoughts. I just looked up the verse because I wanted to read it here. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So that was a good word. Not every thought is from the Lord. And I think so many times we tend to hear the thoughts and just believe them because they're in your own mind, right? But thoughts can be offered to you. And so, I mean, I could just do it easily. I could not say a word and I can make you think a word. What did you think when I did that? Did anybody think guitar? Anybody think? I mean, I could point to something. So if I can put something in front of you, I can easily make you think some things. And so the devil and forces of evil are masters at trying to get us down the wrong road. So I just wanted to put that in there. It wasn't really part of the message, but it's definitely part of life. It's a part of every day. So that may come back in. We'll see if the Lord brings that back in. So happy Thanksgiving. I see some Thanksgiving trees over here, and I appreciate that. Happy Thanksmas. I do love Thanksgiving because there typically is not the same push or pressure of all the gifts and everything. It's simply about celebrating each other and food and togetherness and all of that. So I really love Thanksgiving, and I resist the Christmas decorations until after Thanksgiving, Danny. But I do enjoy this. This is great. It's a holiday celebration. I want to tell a story to start off with about the first Thanksgiving. Has anybody heard the story of five kernels of corn? I see one hand. Great. This is a new story. Something that I just heard. I was looking. I actually had someone introduce the story to me, and then I looked some things up, and I was so amazed, and I just felt like I need to share this. And this is about the first Thanksgiving. Actually, November 11th, 2025 was 405 years since the Pilgrims landed in Plymouth, Massachusetts. And they would have died if it would not have been for an Indian named Squanto. So this was in my notes, and you brought this up, you're talking about. But the story of Squanto is absolutely amazing. He was kidnapped. I'm not going to tell this whole story, but he was kidnapped, taken to England. He actually traveled across the Atlantic four times, which was a big deal in the late 1500s, early 1600s. It was a good way to die. Like, you don't do it unless you're willing to die in the process. And so he was taken to England, and he was taught English. He was taught culture and all of that. But he also had all of his upbringing from the Wampanoag tribe. And so he, unbeknownst to the early pilgrims, they didn't know this guy is there. But in the process of going to England and back, his entire tribe had died from the smallpox. And so it wasn't the Indians that helped the pilgrims. It was Squanto. It was the Indian. It was the one guy, like, because he was the only one left in his tribe. So imagine they land on the shore, and they actually stayed on the ship for a month before venturing onto land. Some people even died on the ship because they didn't know what to do when they got to the land. They didn't know if it was friendly or not. Are they all going to just be killed? And so they sent search parties in. And here comes this Indian walking out of the bush and speaks perfect English to these guys. And I can only imagine the look on their faces when he says, "Good day to you, sir." And they go, like, is this am I like dreaming or something? Here's this Indian. And so that first year, they would have died if it was not for Squanto. He taught them how to fish. He taught them places to fish and how. And he taught them about planting and harvesting and how to dry their seeds and prepare for the next year. And so he really was instrumental. So one guy, all of the Pilgrim's adventure boils down to one guy that the Lord protected and saved and brought to that place to keep that story going. The first thing, Thanksgiving, was that next year. And so they had this harvest and they celebrated. But I think I had always stopped there in my understanding of it. Okay, the Thanksgiving, yay, all right, now everybody just has more than enough. And it didn't go that way. So in 1622, they had such a shortage, again, they had such a shortage that they were rationed to 5 kernels of corn each a day. So this is the story of the 5 kernels. 5 kernels of corn is all each person could eat, or they would run out by the end of the winter. And they survived. Not everyone survived, but the group survived. And in 1623, they had a drought for 12 weeks, and their crops were just disappearing. I mean, the plants were dying. They weren't growing. So they prayed and fasted for 8 hours straight, and it began to rain while they were praying, and it rained for 14 days straight. And their crops were saved, and they then had enough, and they continued to expand from there. But for 1620 to 1623, they almost died multiple winters. It wasn't perfect, but they were saved. And so every year after that, when they would have Thanksgiving, they would start the Thanksgiving meal with 5 kernels of corn on everyone's plate, so that everyone could remember what God had brought them through and God's faithfulness, that even with 5 kernels of corn, he had sustained them through that time. So there's times where we think, I don't have enough. It's just not enough. We're not going to make it. And yet, with 5 kernels of corn, the Lord sustained them. And now there is it's called the Mayflower Society, the direct descendants of the Pilgrims that arrived on the Mayflower. There are over 35 million direct descendants in the Mayflower Society, which was amazing. Talking about harvest, you keep planting and it's going to keep producing. Isn't that amazing? From one guy, one Indian that had a traumatic experience, he was kidnapped and all of that stuff, but from his help, over 35 million people would not be here. And I read some blogs of some descendants, and they're so grateful to the Lord, the way the Lord, I mean, over and over and over, they were acknowledging the hand of God protecting their ancestors to keep them alive. So I just thought that is amazing. And if we don't know the story, we can't appreciate it. And we can now be thankful with 5 kernels of corn. When you see corn, just count out 5 of them and look at it and go, that's today. And imagine how that was. And be thankful for everything that you have. So today I want to talk about seeds of truth. And this message is called Seeds of Truth. And I'm curious how many of you still have the seed vials that Bernie handed out in church. All right, Edna has one. We have a couple over here. Josh, all right. Yeah, there's a couple. So a little while after Bernie handed those out, there was some texts going around and some things that happened with those seeds. And I'll get into that a little bit later. I'm just curious what anyone else's experience is, but I did a little experiment and I'll share with you what happened with those. But before that, I want to ask you a question. What do you do with the seeds in your life? If there's 5 kernels of corn, we'll use those as our seed analogy. What do you do with the seeds in your life? And what is your harvest looking like? Because there's always a harvest today is a harvest of the seeds I planted yesterday or the you know, weeks before, months before, whatever. The harvest that I have, what I'm living with today, is a result of seeds I've planted or allowed to be planted in my heart. So how do you like your harvest? Is it a good harvest? Are you fulfilled? Don't look around you at other people as the reason. Look at the seeds that were planted in your life, because that is the harvest that you're living in. And tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day, and next year, you will be living in the harvest of the seeds you plant today. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that he will also reap. Remember, the harvest that you have, you can choose your harvest. So, the big question, do you value the seeds of truth in your life? Because we are given seeds of multiple different, from multiple sources. So the seeds of truth, do you value the seeds of truth? Right here this morning, there's just tons of seeds of truth being handed out. The Lord's just pouring through testimonies, through worship time, there's seeds of truth. Do you value them? Do you take them and plant them in your heart and allow them to produce a harvest? I'm amazed at all the lies being spoken in the world today. It's crazy. With social media, with AI, like, it's funny. There was a video of a big buck, and it was kind of going around. People were sending this video. And the first thing that people say, it's AI. That's not true. And I'm like, man, that is a recent thing. That actually it could be AI. It could appear so genuine that we don't know that it's not real. And so I question, like, why? Why is all of this happening? Because to me, it's an assault on truth. It is an assault on truth. People don't know what to believe. Like, even with the message being spoken here, you would hope that, okay, this is as pure of a word of truth as I can deliver. Hopefully the Holy Spirit is speaking through me, speaking things that I'm not even saying, touching your hearts with truth. Okay? So this is a great place to receive truth. But it can seem discouraging to filter through all of the messages that we hear. People, you know, scrolling through YouTube, watching shorts or what, you know, whatever, social media looking. And it's like, anymore? I mean, I watched a video of Elon Musk declaring his faith in Jesus Christ. And it was like, this looks awesome. But then there was a little disclaimer that said, the producers of this video have no affiliation with Elon Musk. And it was like, someone did a video of his declaration of faith in Jesus. And it looked completely authentic. So, what is true? What is real? And how do we find it? People reject the truth and accept the lies so often. And if you look around us, not just us, let's just say in culture around us, I mean, just look at the lie of evolution and how that has that just so undermined the truth of creation in our schools, in our teachings. I mean, how many people go and just say something as if evolution is true? And no one has ever said it's true. Do you understand that? It's a theory. No one ever said this is the truth of evolution. It's always the theory. And yet people treat it as truth. And the only reason they treat it as truth is because they are offended at God. They want something to counter what they know to be true, and so they grab onto something that is actually a lie so that they can grab onto something and argue with the truth. What about two genders or gender confusion? I mean, that not very long ago, that would not have even been a discussion. It's like the sky is blue. Of course, until there's clouds, then it's white or gray. It's like... When someone starts to go down the road of deception, there's no end to it. So now there's no end to possible genders that people try to promote and say, well, yes, there's a gender here and this is, and I can choose my gender. All of that is a lie. And it's very simple. It's not complicated. And yet, when given the truth, someone that has associated themselves with the multi-gender society and ideology will get offended at my message here, because they will say, well, how can you say that? It's actually very simple. Genesis 1:27. So that's simple. But in their mind, it becomes complicated. It's no longer simple. I mean, it's like Lamar, like iPhone and Android. It's simple. I don't need to. Did I have to bring that in, Lamar? I just see if you're paying attention. Lamar loves iPhones. See the truth coming across here. Anyway, I need to stay on track here. But seriously, there are so many messages and they oppose each other. Truth versus lies. And yet it becomes so amalgamated that you just go, which one is the truth? And there's a little bit of truth here, but is it all true? Is everything about that true, or is there something false? Everywhere we look, we find people believing lies, actually believing lies. Do you know how hard it is to convince a person that they're deceived? Have you ever tried to convince a deceived person that they're deceived when they truly believe they're not? It's virtually impossible, because the more you try to convince them, the more convinced they are, and they dig in their heels to the thing they're standing for, they're standing on. And if you know it, even if you can prove it to them, they can walk away from you and go, nah, and they won't believe it. And their deception is destroying them, and yet they will hold on to it. We're talking about our family gathering, talking about some people that we know that they're stuck in a lie of offense, and it's like they've cut off all these people in their lives. They're now pretty old, and they're not I better leave that one go. I wish we could just sit them down and slap them across the face and go, wake up. Like, come on. How can you just sit in that mess and think everyone is against you? No one's against you. No one even knows you exist. How can they be against you? You've stuck yourself so in a hole and believe that the world's against you. And yet that's the lie that they live in. And the reality is, when someone has that mindset, I believe our faith goes after that, attaches to it, and brings those negative things to us. That's part of the seeds that are being sown. The seeds of the thoughts in their hearts attach, get faith attached to them, and it begins to produce negative in their life. People are so conditioned to unbelief now. This is the assault, the AI assault that I believe is an assault on truth. It is a conditioning. The devil is trying to condition people to no longer believe anything. Everything is up for grabs. There is no truth. AI is not about, like, ChatGPT. It's like, if you need something, or just Google, whatever. I mean, it started with search engines, but if you need something, rather than talk about it and find it, see if anyone knows the answer, everyone goes to their phone. Oh, hold on. Let me find out. Yep. Ah, the truth is, and then we read who knows what, is it true or isn't it? And yet that has become the replacement for the truth. What you can search for on the internet has become a replacement for the truth. Remember that. It is not the truth. And I mean, how many times you go, oh, don't believe everything you read on the internet. And yet you still believe it. You still look for it. And then you go, well, I read that. And you think that that is the absolute truth. There is a way to know absolute truth. We tend to think of truth as an idea instead of a person. Let's look at what Jesus said in John 14, verse 6. And it should be up here. John 14, verse 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So the truth is a person. It's not a thing. It's not an idea. He is the truth. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 8, 31 and 32. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And when I would have read those before, I would have thought, you shall know the idea of the truth. It's not. There is an idea with it, but it comes through him. He said, you shall know me, the truth, and I, the truth, will make you free. Begin to think of the truth as a person, and you will find the answers that you're looking for, because you can meet the truth himself. Over and over and over, every day, you can meet the truth himself. He has shared things with me that I've had to, like, believe things that there's no scientific basis for. I don't have the scientific basis in my understanding, and yet he's told me things that I've discovered later are true, because he is the truth, and he will share with you if you're open and you spend time with him. He is the truth. He also said in John 17, 17, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. So, John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So Jesus himself is the Word. He is the truth. So the Bible, anyone have a physical Bible you can hold up? Not your device, but a physical Bible? All right. That also is truth. If you want to understand, think of the Bible, the physical Bible you hold in your hand, as the printed version of Jesus. It's Jesus in pages. Jesus in written form. So the word itself has power. The word itself is truth. So if you want to find it, get the word and spend time with the word himself. That is the way to find truth. Jesus made a very clear connection to knowing the truth and walking in it. So knowing it and walking in it are two different things. Being free and walking in victory every day. He showed us the way to do it, and he wants us to experience this. It's his heart for us. It's the reason he came. And yet so often we can hear the truth. Here's, I'm giving you seeds. There are seeds here, testimonies of truth. And you can walk away from this building and leave the seeds on the floor. You can take them with you, or you can leave them. It's your choice. Where do those seeds end up? Where do they get planted? Far too many of us have sort of made the association of hearing the truth means walking in it. It does not mean that. Just because you come to church and hear the truth does not mean you walk in it. I mean, we probably all can give examples of leaving the church building and not walking in the truth just like that because something happened and we got triggered and we did something. But you have the truth handed to you, delivered to you, but that does not mean that you're walking in it. Simply hearing it does not make it real in your life. I thought about sharing all of the parable of the sower and the different types of soil and all of that. I have those in my notes, just so if I want to read one of those verses, I can. But you guys know the story. It would get a little long here, but you can think about the soil that is in your heart and think of the seeds and what happens to them when they get planted in your heart. I quoted this earlier, James 1, verses 16 to 25. I'm going to read these verses. Think of this. Listen to the message that James speaks to us. Listen, these are seeds of truth, and they're somewhat hard to take a little bit at times. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might become a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So then, My beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness, or humility, the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Notice he says the implanted word. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. Look, this is the message right here. Listen, everybody listen. This one will be blessed in what he does. This one. Which one? He who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. Now, if I would ask the question, who here wants to do the work and not be blessed in what you do? Are there any hands going to go up? Go ahead, raise your hand. We're going to talk afterward. We all want to be blessed in what we do. You don't go after something unless you want the benefit from it. You try your best and you want to see the results of it. And yet, right here is a formula. This is the way to do it. James says how to be blessed in what you do. Look into the perfect law of liberty. Continue in it. Don't be a forgetful hearer, but be a doer. I thought about bringing a mirror. I had a message before where I had a mirror up here, and I couldn't figure out a way to make this analogy. But just imagine if I could have a mirror here, and you'd see my face, and then I'd turn and put a mask on, and I'd be like, this is me, and it's like Freddy Krueger mask or something weird, and it's like, yep, nope, this is me, and yet I forget what I look like. Your actions are what determine what you believe about yourself. Your beliefs about who you are determine the actions that you take. I'll say it that way. So if you look into the perfect law of liberty, and then you forget, and you go and you have an encounter with something negative, something not nice, and you respond as you would have in the past with whatever, outbursts of wrath or things like that, filthiness, wickedness, you respond in that way, that's just forgetting who you actually are. You're acting like who you used to be, but not who you are. So don't be a forgetful hearer. I want to show these pictures of the seeds from Bernie. These were corn kernels. The first picture here, Bernie sent some pictures around, and I had actually three vials. Micah had one, and my wife and I each had one. And two of them sprouted like this. So there was we put no moisture with it. We did nothing. In fact, they were stuck in the darkness back in the laundry room counter. My wife just took them and just stuck them in there, and we forgot about them until Bernie started texting saying, hey, go look at your seeds. Have they been in the dark? Have they sprouted? And sure enough, they sprouted. You can see the roots growing. Now go to the next picture. So then Bernie texts again. He says, take the lid off of it. Let them grow. And so I took the lid off and boom, they shot straight up there, and we're like, okay, we're going to harvest some corn here. My wife's like, what are you going to do with these stalks of corn? But anyway, so go to the next picture. I took them and replanted them in a pot so that they could grow. But I did a test, and it was not quite fair to these kernels of corn, okay? But I wanted to see what they would do. I took the third one and planted it in the middle, the one that had not sprouted. So it's in the dirt there in between those two. And I watered them, and they sure looked healthy. They started growing. Now go to the next picture. Then the third one sprouted, and the first two started to die. And watering them the same, I'm doing the same with them. Now go to the next picture. That's today. In fact, I brought them with me. They're in the car. I don't know if anybody wants to see them. I forgot I was going to put them on here, and I forgot it's sitting on the car. It was somewhat depressing because here's my little corn stalks, and I had visions of bringing this thing, you know, to church in heaven. Wouldn't that be cool? Like, got tassel waving, and it's got some ears of corn on it. But this was what I did that wasn't fair to these little plants. I went into our barn and found a pot with old potting soil that had been in there for years and years and years. It's a pot we hadn't used for a while, and it was dry. It had no nutrients that I know of in there, and I didn't add to it. I thought I should kind of give them some help and fertilize it, but I didn't give them food. I just let the soil that was there, the old potting soil, do whatever it could. And there was not enough life in there. Their roots were not strong enough. They just couldn't make it. Now, if I would get some healthy soil and plant some new seeds and let them grow and have enough room for those roots to grow in there, I could bring a corn stalk to church, okay? I believe that. But I didn't give them everything they need. They had water and they had enough to get growing, but this is what happens to truth in so many of our lives. How many of you have seen yourself? How many of you can see yourself in these plants right here? Like, unfortunately, I think that represents every one of us in one area or another. So what has that truth done? Has the truth actually produced a harvest? You heard the truth and you grabbed it and you planted it. You said, yeah, this is awesome. This is it. This is it. This is the truth. I found it. I found the truth. Do you know that those plants will never produce another kernel? I'm going to go dump them in the woods. And once a kernel of corn sprouts, it's dead. Like, the kernel itself dies and the plant becomes a living thing. But once the plant dies, there is no going back into the kernel and starting over. See, that kernel of corn, that seed, unless the seed goes into the ground and dies, Jesus was the seed that went into the ground and died for our life. He is the seed, the eternal one. He goes into the soil of your heart and produces if you allow it. But you have to feed it. That's why I didn't feed it, because I'm like, well, sorry, little plants. I feel this. I really felt this, like, the truth is, if you're not in the Bible, if you're not reading, if you're not meeting the truth himself daily, if you're not connecting with him, there will not be a harvest in your life. And I know this is kind of a hard word on Thanksgiving. Right after Thanksgiving, we're talking about five kernels of corn. You won't even have five. There will not be five kernels of corn from these three corn plants. There won't be, because they were not fed. So you have to nurture the truth, the seeds of truth. How much do you value the seeds of truth in your life? So much of what God wants to do in your life is yet to be realized or accomplished. Like, we look at our life today and we go, this is it. This is like, I've gotten something from the Lord. But do you realize how much he has planned for you yet? And it requires you to plant the seeds of truth, water them, nurture them, feed them with the word, fertilize them. Let the Spirit breathe life into them. If you're not connecting with him, the seeds of truth will die like this. I want you to remember this. Can you put that picture up again? I just want you to remember this. I want this picture to be burned in your head, in your heart. I want you, when there's a seed of truth, the Lord is telling you, believe this, let it grow, fertilize it, grow it. I want you to remember this and go, I refuse to allow this to happen to the seeds of truth in my life. This is what happens to revivals. How many revivals have ended up like this? If there's any major problem in the church, it's this. The seeds of truth are not producing harvest. So make them. It's your choice. It is up to you. It's not up to anyone else. You will see the reward if you don't give up. You will see the harvest. We even have a promise for that. God is always for you. He's constantly pressing his goodness to you. He's trying to get you to grow. He's trying to give you the harvest. Make that decision now that you will not allow truth to die like this. Make the decision. You are going to grow it. And I promise you, you will not regret it. You will not regret it. You will see the harvest over and over and over. The last verse that I want to read is Galatians 6:9, and this is what I was referring to. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. I want to read that again. Let the Lord speak to you in this. Let him encourage you. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. I pray that God's blessings pour over you, that you encounter him, you encounter his harvest, that all of this, the message of the truth, the seeds of truth, that they produce harvest in your life. There's nothing more encouraging and more exciting for those around us than to see this happening in your life. And when this happens in your life, it is an encouragement to those around you to do the same. It is impossible to walk in the truth without valuing it above everything else. It's all in or not. You cannot have both. You cannot have, I value the truth, and then walk in something else. The result is you will have the harvest of the something else. You will not have the harvest of the truth. You have to value it above everything else in your life. Everything, everything, everything. Not one thing can come in the way of valuing the seeds of truth. It's up to you. Choose your own harvest. I'd like to, I'm just going to close here with a prayer. And I'd like to invite you guys to take this message from here. I'm not going to give an invitation, but here's my invitation to you. Take these seeds and take them home and go to your bedroom or to your closet or wherever you want. Go somewhere with these seeds. You still have them. I just gave them to you. Okay? The Holy Spirit just planted them in your hearts. You have them. Don't lose them. If you try to plant them here, right now, today, I don't feel like the Lord's saying plant them here, because so often this is what can happen. I want you to take them home with you. And I want you to go in the closet and plant these seeds of truth. Get your Bible and meet the truth himself. And let that truth produce a harvest. Let's pray. Thank you so much, Lord, for this message that you have given to us today. Thank you for the rebuke, the gentle rebuke, and sometimes the smarting rebuke that feels like you're reaching directly into our hearts and touching on the thing that hurts. Lord, we are so grateful that you love us so much. You love us in order to produce that harvest. And Lord, I pray for every person here that these seeds of truth would go into their hearts and they would water them and they would fertilize them with your word. They would meet with you, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would be fertilizer to these seeds, that you would just produce greater and greater harvests of truth. I pray that every person here would take this seriously. And when we look back, we would be able to look back and say, that was a turning point in my life when I chose to value the seeds of truth. I pray this all in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.